Good morning. It's Thursday, June 18th, 2009. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon's solidarity. Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on Social Security. Now, thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
About time we started calling the shots. It's a war on the workers. That was Ann Feeney, and this is the Brain Labor Report. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Comes to you. This show comes to you every Monday through Friday. We're a half-hour show out of Ashland, Oregon. We're talking about as far south as you can find a town in Oregon on Interstate 5. We're about 14 miles from the California border. Geography lesson today on the Brain Labor Report. We're about 300 miles away from the north border. That's a rough one for you, but that's about how it looks here. Interstate 5, for those of you on the East Coast, is our major north-south route on the entire Pacific Northwest. And for those who want a little bit of trivia, for the state of Oregon, most people don't know this, by the way, two-thirds of our state's a desert. That's right. Just east of the Cascades, well, you'll find two-thirds of the state. Most people in Oregon do not know it's there. It's called a desert. It's literally a desert. You know, how much rain you get per year is under 10 inches. It's a desert. And what else about eastern Oregon? Oh, yeah. Most people never see it. They go up and down I-5, the major metropolitan areas in Oregon, from Portland to Salem to Eugene to Medford in Ashland, the Rogue Valley here. They don't even know. We have a desert. Okay, our show is not about geography. It's not about, it's a little bit about demographics, though. It's about the war on working people. We talk about the struggles. Every single day, working people are balancing on our backs the financial atrocities going on in this country. We're talking about the Bank of America wasting our money, our tax money. We give it to them. I'm telling you that there's so many issues around the economy that supports the corporate world and not working people. We don't have enough time to cover them all in a half-hour show. We do try to touch on them. So Brain Labor Report comes to you every Monday through Friday. We are half-hour. I mentioned that. 94.9 FM right here in Ashland, Oregon is a community radio station. We're non-commercial. That's right. You can't pay us to say something. We won't do it. We can't be bought. What else about that? You can hear us anywhere on the planet via the internet, www.kskq.org. Real anchor for the Brain Labor Report is the Workers Independent News. Part of every one of our shows, and near the top half of our half-hour show, you can hear, and you're going to hear right now, the Workers Independent News. So for Thursday, June 18th, 2009, here is the Worker Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Workers rallied Wednesday at New York City Hall to protest the layoffs of 2,600 school employees. Gwendolyn Burton is an AFSCME member who works with at-risk youth at Passages Academy in the Bronx.
We have to stop this. They're hiring private contractors to do jobs that we can do. That's why we're going to get laid off. That's why they're trying to lay us off for jobs that we can do that they're paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars to people from outside the city, from outside our neighborhood. We know our neighborhood. We know our children. We should be here.
Boston Newspaper Guild President Dan Totten says he's optimistic about reaching a labor agreement over wage cuts at the Boston Globe. The talks this week have reportedly focused on how to reduce the 23% wage cut imposed on Guild members after the union narrowly rejected concessions. Lawyers for the new National Union of Healthcare Workers filed charges with the National Labor Relations Board Wednesday against the SEIU over a loan from Bank of America. The NUHW says federal labor law bars loans between employers and unions attempting to organize their employees. SEIU and the NUHW are locked in a struggle over representation of tens of thousands of California healthcare workers. The SEIU International took over one of its locals, United Healthcare Workers West, ousted leaders of that local, then formed the NUHW. SEIU's Michelle Ringette denies any wrongdoing in the union's loan with Bank of America.
There is absolutely no relationship or quid pro quo between Bank of America and SEIU. In fact, I'm thinking we're probably not their favorite people right now since we've been really leading the charge, pointing out their bad practices. And the SEIU Master Trust actually led to Ken Lewis, the CEO of Bank of America, being removed.
A couple of years ago, the blue-collar band ETX wrote a song out of the frustration surrounding the offshoring of jobs and closing of plants in the U.S. As Jesse Russell reports, the band is back with a new effort.
Now the band is back with a new push for their track, Mad in America. The group has produced a video for the song, and frontman Steve Doobie explains why.
We wanted to paint the picture, not only musically, but we also wanted people to see the effects of it, to see what has happened with all these plant closings and how it affects people's lives every day. All these jobs are moving offshore, and they're not coming back here.
Doobie has posted the video on YouTube, where users can embed the video on their own websites and blogs. The band recorded a new version of the song for a new album they are putting out this year. Doobie said even though the song was written during the Bush administration, the message hasn't changed.
The trend certainly hasn't stopped. We're still moving jobs offshore. And we were told back in, what, the 70s and the 80s, the United States is going to prepare to become a service economy. And now they're moving service jobs offshore. So what's left?
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report, coming to you on Thursday, June 18, 2009. Got a song. We did not get to play this song the other day. We were celebrating This is a big win, by the way. You won't know it by listening to the Ashland Daily Tidings. You don't listen to it. You read it. Well, maybe you don't read it. Maybe I'm going to quit reading it. I'm telling you, I'm pretty mad about that newspaper and News Corporation and media in general. By God, it's a disgust. It's one of the reasons we're moving towards fascism in this country is an argument could be made. It's called conspiracy, that newspapers are in a conspiracy to give us misinformation. And with the misinformation, people vote against their own interests. They vote for a war that's killing us back at home. Oh, I could go on and on and on. But the misinformation, the biggest problem with the newspaper, main media, it's not just newspapers, by God, it's radio and TV too. The biggest problem is this. It's an attack on our democracy. Democracy relies on a well-informed public. People need to have information. It's so important. So when they mishold information from us, what does that mean? I mean, editorially, papers can do that. You know, yeah, they can. You know, they can love Walmart if they want, or they can love sweatshops if they want. That is their right editorially. But when it gets to the content of the paper, when they take their philosophical views, like maybe they love sweatshops or something like that, and they let that influence the reporting of the news, what does that mean? Well, one thing is their constitutional right, by God, and we'll you know, fight to the death for their right to do that. Having said that, what they're doing is misinforming a populace that you know, some of us think we still got democracy here. Others are fighting for it. Some people have, you know, they're digging holes in the ground. They think it's gone, and they don't believe we're headed back. Well, let's bring this country back. Let's bring back democracy. And let's, most importantly, bring back the free flow of information. Let's demand that newspapers start reporting. Is that such a big thing? I'm telling you, I'm ready to drop the tidings again. I do it about every 2 years, and I just get so mad at them. I'm going to tell you about what they didn't do. You know, we had a very, very successful campaign, the Ashland Sweat-Free Campaign, which it's actually ongoing, but we had a major, major win Tuesday night when the Ashland, Oregon City Council, meeting in the City Council chambers on East Main Street in Ashland, Oregon, voted to move Ashland to become a sweat-free community. What's that mean? That's no big thing, you know. Well, guess what? No one knows about it. The Ashland Daily Tidings did 2 stories about the meeting. They did. 2 different aspects, things going on about the meeting. Neither story, and nowhere else in their rag, did they report this very meaningful, and actually it is a big deal, this policy that was passed the other night by the Ashland City Council. We're furious, but then again, you know, we've come to expect it from an organization that, well, they're helping to move this country towards fascism. Is that an overstatement? I'll tell you what. Are you paying attention? I ask you to open your eyes and pay attention this morning. Okay, here we go. We're going to play a song. We wanted to play this song day before yesterday. This is in celebration. It's not a pretty song, but this is in celebration of what the Ashland City Council did the other night. Passed policy to move Ashland to become a sweat-free community. We're talking about the procurement of uniforms, you know, the policemen and the firemen uniforms that city employees wear, and even the T-shirts worn by the Parks and Rec folks during the summertime over in Lithia Park. All of those things are, well, right now they're acquired from, we believe, sweatshops. Ashland has passed a policy to move the city to become sweat-free, and that means changing the industry. That means if you want our money, then in fact, that sweatshop has to change its policies, raise up the labor standards there, and if so, you got our contract, and we'll buy those policeman uniforms. This is a big deal, folks. Okay, I'm ragging on about it. Let's listen to Deportee. It's a great song, and Woody Guthrie sings it. Okay, let's hear it right now. Here we go.
crops are all in, the peaches are rotting, the oranges are piled in their creosote dump. They're flying you back to the Mexico border to pay all your money to wait back again. My father's own father, he waded that river. They took all the money he made in his life. My brothers and sisters come working the fruit trees, and they rolled the trucks till they took down and died. Goodbye to my one, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportees. Some of us are illegal, and others not wanted. Our work contract's out and we have to move on. 600 miles to the Mexico border, they chase us like outlaws, like rustlers and thieves. We died in your hills and we died on your deserts. We died in your valleys, we died on your plains. We died in your trees and we died in your bushes. Both sides of the river, we've died just the same. Goodbye to my one, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you. Skyplane caught fire over Los Gatos Canyon. Like a fireball of lightning, it shook all our hills. And who are these friends, oh, scattered like dry leaves? The radio says they are just deportees. Is this the best way we can grow our big orchards? This is the best way we can grow our good fruit. To fold like dry leaves and to rot on your topsoil and be known by no name except deportees. Goodbye to my one, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportees.
All they will call you is deportee. And, you know, there's something psychological about that. If it's us and them, if it's us and those damn immigrants stealing all of our jobs, it's if it's us and those Iraqis, they just don't understand anything, you know, and let's kill them. And do you know the psychology of us and them? If you call them deportee, if you don't put a name on them or a face, if you make them the enemy, they're stealing all of our jobs. There is a real psychology that works pretty well on the working class, unfortunately, and that's about having us fight each other. Let me tell you, the banks laugh all the way, the corporations laugh all the way to the corporate banks with their wheelbarrows full of money. They're taking the money that we made for them. They're taking it to their banks, their financial institutions, and they laugh at us. But they really laugh at the way they get working people to fight against each other. I want you to analyze that thought. I don't know what your feelings are for immigrants, but by God, if you go to the grocery store today and you buy some lettuce and some carrots, take your hat off and say thank you. Say thank you and take the words of that song, Deportee. Take those to heart. Think about those a little bit today. It's us and them. Oh, they're stealing all of our jobs. Think about that a little bit and think about how the corporations and their banks want us fighting over that crap, I'm telling you. Okay, what else we got here today? We're going to talk about Walmart a little bit, and a good place to start out is another song. By the way, today's show is A Tale of Two Cities. That's right. City of Ashland, Oregon, that makes strong public policy against sweatshops. Absolutely. I'm telling you, big deal they did with this policy. Not reported in the Ashland Daily Tidings, but by God, they passed it. And we are so excited that they make it loud and clear they don't support sweatshops. They don't want the procurement, our dollars, our tax dollars for uniforms going to sweatshops making the policemen and the firemen's uniforms that are worn by the City of Ashland employees. They made it strong. Now, over in Medford today, they're going to be considering, oh my God, this is a tough one, the Walmart Superstore struggle. The City of Medford, now they support sweatshops over in Medford. A Tale of Two Cities is this. In Medford, Oregon, they support sweatshops. They want Walmart to come in. I'm telling you, this is so unpatriotic. And in Ashland, well, they make a strong policy, I've already told you, against sweatshops. It's A Tale of Two Cities. I'm going to tell you more about that tale and the important meeting taking place at noon today where we can watch Medford and their support for sweatshops. Okay, let's play a song, something about Walmart. That's who we're talking about now. David Rovick has a song on Walmart. Why don't we listen to him sing about Walmart, okay? Thanks, Jason. Here we go.
Becoming clear, cut down the forest, the big ones here, cover the ground with a massive tire, make sure there's room for every car. One floor, half mile, massive sprawl, one floor, wonder, super mall, it's spreading out far and wide, taking over the countryside. Say goodbye to your forests, they're going down.
Walmart is coming to town. Mr. David Rovics, Walmart is not going to come to town, not the city of Medford. The fight continues 6 years now, 6 years to keep a supercenter out of Medford, Oregon. By the way, it's all about traffic. Oh, my God. You ever get off the south interchange there in Medford? They've rerouted it all. Spent a lot of money, a lot of Department of Transportation money, state of Oregon, federal money, too, has gone into changing the intersection. The plan is to deliver Interstate 5 travelers to a super center yet to be built. It's all designed there. This is like the biggest conspiracy you could ever imagine. If you get off with what they want to do, if you get off in Medford, Oregon at the south interchange, the plans are to deliver you to a Walmart supercenter. The traffic is horrendous. People don't want Walmart there. They don't want more traffic. And here's a letter to the city of Medford from a group that's been fighting Walmart for 6 years now. We're talking about the Medford Citizens for Responsible Development, MCRD, and this is the letter to Medford City Council members. By the way, this is on the agenda at noon today, Medford City Council. We will see Medford continue to support sweatshops and Walmart and uncontrollable traffic. We're predicting that they are, in fact, well, they're lining up with the sweatshops. Here's the letter. Let me see if I can read it. Let me put my glasses on. Okay, here is the letter. This is important. We only got a few minutes left. MCRD letter to the Medford City Council members. MCRD does not believe that the Medford City Council should seek to bring suit to have Luba's most recent ruling overturned by the Oregon Court of Appeals. Okay, sounds technical. Hang with me here. Up to now, the city has required the production of an extensive traffic study only at the time there is a zone change for real property, even though that zone change may include land where there is no immediate planned development and even where the current use of that land would not trigger the requirement for a traffic study. Follow us, folks. To conduct a traffic study on an area where there is no current nor immediate planned commercial development, such as a county-owned baseball field, is truly an unneeded and unnecessary exercise. This study would necessarily assume no increase in traffic over current levels, or it may assume some eventual increase, but the time frame for this projected increase may well be beyond the time frame that the study is required to model. This is absolutely what happened with regard to the proposed Walmart Supercenter site near the South Interchange. We have been informed that an objective projection of the increased number of vehicle trips per day associated with this particular development is 8,500 trips per day. We believe that the projected increased level of traffic in this area has the potential to cause one or more nearby intersections to fail, resulting in unacceptable traffic tie-ups, causing deteriorating air quality from stalled vehicles and triggering an immediate halt of all future development dependent upon these streets and intersections until they are improved to required standards. The city of Medford has experienced this situation in the recent past. At this point, it will be solely up to the taxpayers to bear the full costs of these improvements, even though the city's municipal code states that the developer is responsible for making the improvements required by a traffic study. The city believes the developer of this burden, by its current interpretation, by shifting all these costs to the taxpayer, an interpretation rejected by LUBA. We believe the city is going too far by half in using this interpretation to attract new development in the city, and the Land Use Board of Appeals has agreed with us. We have been informed by our sources that most local governments and municipalities in the state which require traffic studies as a condition of development require them at the time of development, not at zone change. MCRD believes that the fair and equitable response to LUBA is to comply with the ruling and amend the Medford Municipal Codes to make it clear and consistent with other Oregon municipalities that large commercial developments are responsible for abating the improved costs brought about by additional traffic burden on adjacent streets and intersections. We also believe that the current municipal codes and interpretations relating to the size of the development, folks, we're running out of time. This is the letter to the city. Medford supports sweatshops, and we're going to be there at noon today to tell them to get off that and join Ashland and be against sweatshops. Folks, not enough time, too much material today. Back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Brain Labor Report.